So first, of course, I have to thank the organizers for inviting me here. And actually, I learned a lot from this workshop, so it's really a great opportunity. So what I'm going to report now is a joint work from Nakanishi, G first, Gustafsson, Nakanishi, and myself. So we are going to focus on solitary waves of NOS. So by solitary waves, I mean those solutions which have a constant shape as time evolves. And so in this talk, sometimes I will call these solitons to be short. So because of the symmetry of the NOS, usually you have a family of solitary waves. So the picture is like this. So suppose, so it's like a hypersurface in L2, and we have a family of solitary waves. And I'm going to use Q to denote a solitary wave with some parameters sigma. And now the main question we want to address is the stability of this family. So there are there are at least two concepts. So but before that, let me draw some picture here. So suppose initially our data psi zero is very close to the surface. So this part is small, and the solution is moving. And so the projection of the solution is also moving on the surface. But this distance is supposed to be small. And that's the so-called orbital stability. So suppose psi zero minus Q sigma and take inf over sigma in L2. Is small, then the same thing remains uniformly small for all time. So so these are results. Actually, I made a mistake. So these are supposed to go after what I say now. So, okay, so let me just call some names. Kazunev, Leon, 82, M. Weinstein, 86, Grilakis, Shota and Charles, 87. So that's orbital stability. The next concept is asymptotic stability. I'm sorry? Number of eigenvalues. Oh, nearest operator. I'm sorry?
We should not look at that for the moment.
That's right. You are supposed to. Okay, that's good. So asymptotic stability is, we want to measure this in a local norm. So, want to measure something in L2 local, the same difference. And the picture is like this. So suppose we have a solitary wave, and we have some dispersion. And then as time evolves, this solution will oscillate, the sigma will change, but it will converge to some Q sigma infinity, and the dispersion will go to infinity. And this part will satisfy the original NOS. And this part will satisfy linear Schrodinger equation. So that's a table of the results. So the first such result was done by Sofer and Weinstein. So here, N is the number of eigenvalues of the linear operator along these solitary wave solutions. So they did a small solitary wave case, one eigenvalue. And then Professor Buslev and Perelman did a case in 1D setting for one eigenvalue and two eigenvalues. And then later, Pillay and Wen extended their result to neighborhood of zero. So here, everything is neighborhood of ground state, but neighborhood of zero is actually larger than just neighborhood of ground state. I'm going to show a picture later. And then, CPL Kugelsen did large solitons case. So here is a small solitons. So CPL did a case for one eigenvalue in 2001. And then 2003, two eigenvalue case. In the meantime, myself and Yao did a two eigenvalue case and did that for the neighborhood of zero, including steady state. And then Professor Buslev and Professor Sudan did give more details in this result. And I did a case when you have n eigenvalues and CPL. Okay, and recently, there are these two independent results by Perelman and Rodolyansky, Schlag, and Sofer. So that's for the case of many solitons. And there's one thing I have not written. So the blackboard too small. Paul, so he did the radio case. Radio. Global solution of cubic NOS. For the moment, his estimate is very weak. But however, he makes no spectral assumption. So these are the state of the art. So let me make some remarks about this result. So first, in all these results, all initial data are supposed to be localized. And so the only exception is Tau's result. The second remark is that in a two eigenvalue case, there are two restrictions. So first, solitons are not allowed to move. And second, the second eigenvalue should be well placed. So I will explain what is well placed when I go to our theorem later. And third, there's nothing in the, for the two decades. And later on, I will comment where our method fails for 2D. So the result I want to report has two parts. So we are going to assume H1 data. So we don't assume size 0 is localized. And we have two parts. In part one, we will only work with one eigenvalue case. And then we'll do a neighborhood of zero. In part two, two eigenvalue case will press. It'll be neighborhood of ground state. And so now let me say something about why H1. Neighborhood of zero is bigger than the neighborhood of ground state. So I will show a picture very fast. You will see this is really larger. Yes. Yeah, so it's not necessary to have a ground state component in size zero. So for size zero, you decompose that to two parts. One is ground state. One is dispersion. The ground state component can be much smaller than the dispersion part. I'm sorry? For part one only. For part two, we can. That's right. Otherwise, it's very complicated. So that's this case. We wrote four papers on this. So it's not easy. So why H1? So reason one, H1 is natural. So, well, H1 is natural, everybody agrees. And L1, or weighted L2. This space are not preserved by time evolution. So this kind of assumption are convenient but not natural. So that's the first reason. That's correct. So previously, that's a typical assumption. Over H1 intersect L2 with some weight. So this one is natural. We want to do H1. And second reason, so when you remove the well-placed assumption, No, not now. If I can second eigenvalue, is E oppressed, and then then everything decays much slower. So why do we want L1 at first place? We want it to be L1 so that the dispersion decays very fast. However, when the second eigenvalue is ill-placed, it's not going to decay fast. It's going to decay very, very slowly. Then this assumption is useless to us. So that's the reason we want to do H1 theory. That's right. Up to now, it needs to be well placed. Nothing has been published for ill placed eigenvalue. I'm sorry?
You're really a physicist.
I am?
Not written down your
equation. That's good. So I can apply for a job in physics department. Okay, now I'm going to write down my equation. So part one. So my equation is very simple. So here, our wave function is as usual. And psi 0x is psi 0x, which is small in H1. And the linear operator H here is very simple, minus or plus plus V. And so here V has two assumptions. So V is a localized potential such that first, H has only one eigenvalue. Which I'm going to call E0. With corresponding eigenvector, eigenfunction, phi 0. So H phi 0 is E0 phi 0. And the spectrum looks like this. So E0 is negative. So that's the spectrum of H. So that's the first assumption. Second assumption is that for the evolution, E to mass ITH, the endpoint Chicard estimate holds. So we know that by Q and tau. So those are the two assumptions on H. And then we go to the nonlinearity. G of psi is a linear term, which basically has two types, yes. Yes, global in time. So G size is nonlinearity, which is either point-wise. Yes. Yeah, only acting on the continuous spectrum, of course. So endpoint charge holds on continuous spectrum. This follows from a lot of works. So, that's part of assumption, because in those holes, this holes, but this is the only thing we are going to use. So we only assume this, so that's more
so
easier.
Instead of giving conditions on B, I mean, this is the condition on B.
Exactly. So that's the only thing we need. Oh, well, of course, our H has to be self-joint and so on. So the linearity could be point-wise or convolution type. So I will give you a typical example. So example, my G of psi equals A psi to 4/3 psi plus B psi to 1/4 psi plus bracket C over X to 3 minus epsilon plus D over X squared convolution with psi squared and then times psi. So we can treat this kind of linearity. And so here A, B, C, D are real numbers. And epsilon between 0 and 1. So we mark. So first, our solution is small. Therefore, the sign of ABCD are not important for this problem. So our solution is always globally well posed. So that's not a problem we should worry. And second, we do rely on the endpoint streetcars heavily. So without streetcars estimate, without endpoint streetcars, our proof fails. The proof just crashed. I don't know, maybe it's technical, but anyway, our proof relies on this very heavily. So our proof cannot be extended to 2D case. So because we know that endpoint streetcars fails in 2D. And moreover, because of this thing here, we have some borderline linearity. So here, this exponent is borderline. So in the convolution type, this is borderline. And so these two were not treated before. Okay, and so next thing I want to say is nonlinear ground state. So, so now for every small complex number Z, we look for a function Q depending on Z of X, which is this form. So the leading term will be given by Z times phi 0, and then plus some error term. So this error term here will be perpendicular to phi 0, and it's of order little o of Z squared. This little o is in H2 and W11. Such that Q satisfies this equation. I don't want to, okay. Fine. So this is equal to EQ. And here E will be equal to E0, the eigenvalue, plus a perturbation term, little o of z. And so suppose with one such solution, the following function Q of x times 1 mass IET is an exact solution to the Lanier Schrodinger equation. So here we have a family of such solutions. Our parameter is Z, and the graph in L2 is as follows. So here is the phi 0 direction, and here is the continuous spectrum direction. And for each Z, we have one such solution, and the solution will be tangential to phi 0. So it looks like this. And we have a freedom of phase. So it's a two-dimensional surface in L2. And so when I say the initial data is near ground state, it's somewhere here. And when I say initial data is in the neighborhood of zero, then we are talking about this ball here. Anything here is in the neighborhood of zero. So the radius here is still small. So when we have a given, okay. So when I say neighborhood, I really mean neighborhood in L2. So here, suppose you given a one nonlinear ground state here, you have a small ball here. So in this small ball, we have a lot of parts from this surface, but that's fine.
The diameter of that ball, the radius of that ball depends on the size of your ground state?
That's correct.
So it looks somewhat like
a ground state. Yeah, that's right. So we can, so in the second result, the part two, we'll be able to talk about this region only. But right now, in part one, we consider the whole ball here. So where am I? Okay, remark. We use that as parameter. Usually, one uses the following two. Its magnitude and its argument. So these two are the usual parameters. But in our situation, we allow Z to be zero. And in that case, theta is not well defined. So for our problem now, we said it's a natural parameter. And this, okay. So one more thing, the linear operator.
So this one is the best bifurcation theory in order to prove
family of the.
Yeah, the proof is very easy. So what we do, we just construction. Yeah, just do construction map. You can get this family. So what next? A nearest operator. So nearest operator will look like this. Minus I H eta plus partial epsilon the variation of G. So this part we are going to write it as A eta. It's a linear operator. However, this guy here is not still joint. But it's small and localized. So we're going to decompose L2 respect to this operator. So we're going to write L2 as ground state component plus continuous spectral subspace. So here, product, the direction here is over R. And the ground state component dimension is 2. So that corresponds to a continuous spectrum. So we have everything. So now, given a solution, psi t we are going to decompose that as the sum of some nonlinear ground state plus a dispersive part. And this dispersive part will be required to belong to the corresponding continuous spectral subspace. So this requirement gives us a unique choice of this state. So now I can state a theory. So theory one, that's about asymptotic stability. And asymptotic completeness. So where am I? If psi 0 is very small in H1, then the infinity node of Z in time plus the Schwarzschild norm of the dispersion is usually bounded by the initial data. Moreover, delta t, alpha by delta t converge to some infinity. And eta t converge to the solution of some free evolution. So as t goes to infinity. So for some infinity, some eta plus belonging to continuous spectrum intersection H1. So that's the first theorem. So here we give a complete characterization of a solution. So the picture I drew at the beginning really holds. Second theorem is a nonlinear wave operator. So for any M infinity, for any eta plus in this space, small, then there exists a solution psi t satisfying the conclusions satisfying the conclusions of theory one. So it's a opposite statement. So here, given any data at infinity, we can control the solution back to time, initial time. But there's a remark here. Remark, uniqueness. It's not clear. So we are able to construct one such solution, but there may be some other solutions which you don't know. Really? But however, here, I don't have translation here. Is that possible? Okay, that'd be good. But suppose up to that symmetry.
You're backing up from the
mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Theorem 3. Example of slow decay of dispersion. So for any finite ball V, for any function Ft converge to zero, so arbitrary slowly, there exists a solution psi t such that so what's the statement here? The inf over sigma, no, over z of psi t minus qz in L2 in that ball. So this inf over Ft is take limit soup. This limit soup is infinity. So what does it say? So for any, okay, our S can be something like 1 over log t, or 1 over log t. And then I'm able to find a function such that this difference, which is a dispersion, the size of this dispersion is larger than f of t. So that's an example of showing our dispersion can be really, really slow. So maybe I have some space here. There's local decay, but it don't have a uniform estimate. Yeah. So maybe I should keep this picture. So am I done? I want to say some remarks, and then I go to part two. Okay, remark. So I just want to mention the key feature of the proof. So we are going to use a time-dependent decomposition of solution in order to estimate bound state. And however, to estimate the dispersive part, dispersion, we use a fixed evolution operator e to mass ith. And this is possible in our situation because everything is a perturbation for our problem. So everything is perturbation, so it's fine. However, when you want to do large solutions, you cannot use things like this. You have to use time-dependent evolution operator. But then you don't have any streetcar estimate for that guy. So at least for now. So that's why we cannot do large solutions. I don't really know. So for example, the next one, two bound state case, our bound state are going to be periodic, almost periodic. So yeah, but they have decay and growth. So I don't know, it's very technical at this point. So let me just finish this. So I have 2 minutes, I guess. So let me just quickly sketch. So the only difference in the part two is that we're going to assume two eigenvalues. And spectrum is going to be like this. So here is zero. Here is E0. And here is E1. And this part is a continuous spectrum. And the key here is that distance here, this gap here is longer than this gap. So that's what I call well print. Suppose you switch this. For example, consider this kind of picture. This picture is very physical, but there's nothing we can do for this problem yet. I'm sorry? Well print is this gap is bigger than this. In other words, 2E1 is greater than E0. And this will be E operate. So for E operate, okay, for the two eigenvalue case, we are going to have another branch here that corresponds to a linear excited state and also another family here. So in this case, we can only do a neighborhood of this part. And we're going to write a solution psi t in three components, q plus y of y plus eta. This will correspond to the linearized excited state. And everything else is the same. That's the ground state. That's the dispersion. And all the estimates are the same, except that we have that yt now is in L4 in time. So that would be theorem 4. Theorem 4, yeah. So under the same assumptions, with this new component, where yt belongs to L4 in time. So let me just compare this with the localized data, then we'll finish. So remark, if psi 0 localized, then yt is like 1 over t to 1 half. And now, our y is only L4. So it's somehow like 1 over t to 1 quarter. So it's also slower now. Okay, so I stop here. Thank you.